I have one last announcement. John Duclos. I don't even know who John Duclos is. He sent a letter out, making an appeal for some financial assistance for some children, and John Duclos will be leaving for Mongolia. Is it May 11th? Was you going to go? And he's kind of, I'm not going to go into details, but John Duclos is going to need some prayers as well as financial support because of a situation he's having to go into there in Mongolia. So he needs our prayers and he needs our backing more than ever because it's a very critical situation that he has to go back to. And he kind of shared the details with me. So just lift him up in prayer. And if you've received a letter from him on financial support, please make sure you respond to him before May 11th so that he has our help and our blessing as he goes there. And so I'll kind of remind all of you to make sure that you do get behind him. He's on a mission this time, a very, very much of extreme importance, and my prayers are going with you too, John, because I believe that you'll be able to settle things in a wonderful way. We hope not in a bad way, but a wonderful way. And I can't go into details, but his mission is very critical, important for the church there in Mongolia. So praise God, lift him up in prayers. It's very important. Did we get everything out of the way? It's a good thing Ida was gone last Sunday. We had a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm just kidding, Ida. I'm just kidding. Don't take offense. I'm just kidding. You're going to get me okay. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you so much for those who support the Word. And Father, as we know, these are definitely the final days. And Father, I know that you're giving us a mission. We're dedicated to train, stabilize, and mature the body of Christ to win the lost. Father, there's so many people out there so lost. And so, Father, move in our midst, not only this morning, but may whatever I share with your people and say to them this morning, may it be something that they can take and treasure in their heart to reach the lost with, because we are definitely living in very critical times. And so, Father, I trust that today everyone will be anointed to receive, anointed to hear and receive, so that they may run with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just here recently in prayer, I thought it was very interesting that my daughter and her boyfriend were sharing with me about New Age really expanding itself in America. And can't remember how many weeks ago, but I was in prayer and I was trying to break a mystery in the Word of God. And the Lord spoke to me and said that Satan has released a new principality. And he carries the spirit of Antichrist. And I didn't think much of it until I'm getting these feedbacks. I'm seeing the spirit rising. And usually I don't like to use names from the pulpit, but I guess now Oprah Winfrey has started a church. She has over 2 million in attendance now, probably the largest church in the United States, and she's promoting New Age information. And from my understanding, she attended a Baptist church when she was a baby, small. Evidently, her church didn't reach the heart that was necessary to keep her from extreme error. And I just think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because a lot of times, we can't see into the spirit realm. We can't see the operation of the enemy. We don't know how critical it is. But the only way that we know how critical the atmosphere is beyond what we can see is what we feel in our heart when we're in fellowship with the Lord, when we're praying. And so I think we're living in a time period where it's very vital we as believers have a time of prayer with the Lord. Because you're going to see more and more people rise up and be caught up in the New Age concept. What is the New Age concept? That there are many ways to the Lord. There are many ways to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the only one that you can go to heaven and reach the Father, and it's through me. I'm the only one. Anybody else tries any other way and they're a thief and a robber. I never really understood the thief and the robbing by having another way, but what they're doing is by saying there's another way, they are stealing people from the kingdom of God. And believe it or not, principalities operate on a higher form than what people realize. They indoctrinate mankind, especially in the United States, because here is where we've had the freedom of the gospel for so long, and we've been so free to express it, that many believers are churched. They're not challenged, they're churched. The Lord told me, He says, when a believer keeps himself on the cutting edge with the Lord in prosperity, He said, that believer has gone a step above the call of duty. Because when you go into these third world countries, they don't really have anything there but church. And so there, when the gospel is preached, they respond to it quite well, and there's a mighty move of God. Why? Well, they don't have homes to go home to like we do. They don't have automobiles. They don't have the convenience that we do. You see. And so they're more prone to revival, spiritual revival, and they're more prone for the miraculous than what people realize. But in America, see, we've got it too good. You know, I'm not speaking against us as believers, but really our environment is real conducive to we don't really need God all that much except for maybe Sunday. You know, and so we have to challenge ourselves to be on fire for the Lord. I mean, where else in America can you go anywhere and entertain yourself on any given day? Because there's so much here. I mean, and if you get bored, you can go to a park, man, and the park is just beautiful. And it gives you there to space out, and some people say, talk to God. But I tell you, it's a challenge today to stay on top of things spiritually. Because you have so much influence. Amen? You do. And so you have to really discipline yourself. I shared with you that I studied quite a few books and got into a lot of them and read them and looking for the answer for revival. And just recently, because I found the position that my body has declared itself against the kingdom of God, I knew then the thing that will stop revival in our midst is our own flesh. It knows about God, but it doesn't know God. It knows about God, but doesn't know God. I said it. He knows about God, but he doesn't know God. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation. He has to reveal himself to you. God has to reveal himself to you. You know? So we start out mostly in flesh knowing God. But when you get in and get involved with God, we go deeper. We go deeper with God. Amen? Amen. Do you guys go in deeper with God? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, open your Bibles up. I was kind of waiting on God. Last week we didn't have any chance to preach. We just ministered and moved and had a move of the Holy Ghost. I like those times, don't you? The Lord began to move on my heart for the message this morning, and I got to thinking, well, Lord, does this mean you're not going to show up this morning? And He said, I'm just going to show up differently. Lindsay, you want to share something? Okay, we'll tell you. I'll step aside on that one.
I really have it on my heart, you know, about what he was saying about, you know, Oprah. People are just, they're looking for something. They're looking for a higher power that can help them, that can give them peace, you know. And you just, in praise and worship, I don't see the Dalai Lama on the cross. I don't see Buddha on the cross, but Jesus was on the cross. And, you know, people persecute Jesus, but you know what he said when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, and we just have to look at these people and say, they're so lost. They're looking for something. You know, and we are here. We're here to give them what they need. We're here to show them that Jesus is peace. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. And so I feel that we need to open our hearts to those people, you know, and come up and give them the love that they need, the love of Christ. You know, no one else can give them that love and that peace.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Open up to Proverbs 23, chapter 23 of Proverbs. Everybody there? Go to verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. This is a very important verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is a real interesting word for thinketh. It is a Hebrew word, se'ar. It means to split or to open. Zahiti says it means to act as a gatekeeper. He said the city gate was where the people congregated for business and social reasons. The administration of justice was often administered by the gate. It was the place of controlled access to a walled city. I thought it was very interesting that he used this word to open or to act as a gatekeeper. Every one of us are in charge of our own thinking. We a lot of times don't realize that we are, but we are. We're responsible for how we think. And the closer I've been getting to the Lord, drawing nigh to Him in prayer, I'm beginning to discover how to change the way a person thinks is extremely difficult. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
It's because a lot of times how we think, we let things just flow through us and we don't catch the mood or the direction or where it's coming from. We just let these thought processes just float through us. And lately, since I began to understand the position that our flesh has taken against the kingdom of God, and seeing that my body, my carnal mind and my physical body is my greatest enemy to the cross, because it stands between me and my risen Lord. You know, and it has a mind of its own. It's made up of the senses. Amen? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so I don't wake up in the morning and say, now I'm going to think about my thoughts. Do you guys do that? I don't. I just think, I just get up and I just start thinking, automatically thinking. When I'm conscious of my surrounding, I just begin to think. But you know what's really interesting Has any of you ever had a fight with your wife? How about your husband? You women ever have a fight with your husband? Nisu goes. Yeah, it's really strange. But since I've been thinking about my thoughts and how they think, I got upset at Sue, and I'm going outside, and I'm thinking these thoughts towards her that I asked the Lord to help me in my thinking. You don't want to ever do that if you want to get away with something. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking these thoughts about her, and the Lord says, He says, what are you doing? And I got thinking, oh my gosh, I'm doing the very thing that I'm criticizing her for. It's scary when you start thinking about how you think.
Yeah.
It really is. It's scary. You go think, wow, I never caught that before. But you know what? I'm beginning to discover just most recently, there are thoughts I don't need to allow myself to meditate on them.
Right.
Just because they're there don't mean it's so.
Right.
You know? And I got to thinking, wow, that's really an eye-opener, because I'm sitting here accusing Sue of the very things that I'm presently doing in my thought process with her.
Yep.
Amen? And it isn't only my wife, my friends, my staff. Oh, everyone, I get emotional about something, and I allow these thought processes to take off. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan works on vanity of the mind. He loves for you not to communicate with anybody and think thoughts about him. That's scary. Because you build a scenario, and God has to come and say, who told you that? Well, nobody really said something. Why are you thinking it? I'm going to tell you something. Working with thought changes is not easy. I don't care what anybody says. It's difficult to deal with your mind. Now, I want to share something with you real quickly. Did you know that many of us can talk about the sins of the tongue? Oh, I got it. I know what the sins of the tongues are. And then we can talk about overt sins, which means, you know, outward sin usually involves somebody else. But never any of us really think mental attitude sins. We never think of them. You know, Paul thought about it. Paul thought about mental attitude sin. You know who he thought about? To the Galatian. The providence of Galatia. They had an mental attitude sin problem with each other. Did you guys know that? They did. And Paul, he came in that book, and he put all these believers in place. And how he did it was he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect through your flesh? And he began to make a statement that really caught my attention. And let's go to the book of Galatians real quick, like, and let's look at a statement that Paul made. Praise the Lord. And he says here, verse 19 of chapter 4 of Galatians. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Now, in the Greek, it's worded this way, little children of me. Now, the providence of Galatia were believers that were under Paul's personal care, because he is the one that brought them to birth. He birthed them. And so he's saying here, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This word formed literally means to fashion, to adjust, or the adjustment of one's character. To adjust one's character to be Christ-like is really what that's referring to. And he says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice so I should stand in doubt of you. Tell me that you desire to be under the law. Do you hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was on the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, in other words, something to illustrate a principle. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. That's the natural Jew in the present Jerusalem. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou, barren, that bearest not, and break forth to cry aloud, that travailest not, for the desolate has more children than she which hath a husband. Glory to God. And that's Isaiah 58. What he was talking about there, there's going to come a time no one would be in travail or anything to deliver a child. The child will be delivered through being born from above. Glory to God. That's when all of us receive the new birth. Glory to God. Now we're born from above and we are of the free woman. Amen. The free woman. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now you know what that's saying? Flesh and spirit cannot cohabit. Whatever is of flesh will give in or move away. It'll either give in and join or move away. And this is what was happening. That's why in the next verse of chapter 5, verse 1, he says, Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What was the yoke of bondage? It was when our spiritual being was subject to our physical being. We didn't have an identity separate from what we were physically until the Word of God came and circumcised us from our flesh and gave us our own identity, gave us a new life and nature in it to combat the nature of the body. Amen? And now the key is getting to understand how does the flesh think versus how the spirit thinks. That's a big subject. Amen? So what is the first line of defense for our thinking processes? What is the first line of our thinking processes? Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, for a Christian, is to know the enemy is Satan. Amen? But did you know that most of us don't know that our carnal mind is also our enemy?
Absolutely.
Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If it wasn't for my carnal mind, somebody prophesied over me one time and said that the Lord is going to take you where no man has gone before. And reveal the deep, dark mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know, that's not a bad place to go, providing you don't have a carnal mind to deal with on the process. Because we adapt to so many mindsets, we don't really realize how vulnerable we are to self-deception. You know, Paul said, Satan comes as an angel of light. No marvel, for his people come as light.
Right.
Satan does. But I'm going to tell you something. You know our carnal mind? It comes to us as us. Is that a mystery to most of it? It just comes to us, and it speaks against the kingdom of God, and you won't even catch it unless you're paying attention to it.
Right.
It'll just drop little nuggets in you, and you seem to think that they're from God. And when you start taking a look at the patterns of these kind of thinkings, then you look for a principle by which you could defend yourself from your own negative thinking, your own mindset. Now, I had you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 because I want to look at a verse that Paul uses. He's saying, listen, church, you need to forgive this guy and let him back in. This is a guy, I do believe, that was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul would be saved. Evidently, he wanted back in. And Paul said, you know, you bring this guy back in. You know, you accept his forgiveness. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This word devices here is a very interesting word. It is literally noema. Noema. Do you know who used the general term for this is mind? But the word noema is very interesting. This word literally means, oh, we have a bird in our sanctuary. Oh, Jerry got him. We have a live bird in our... Oh, make sure he's not hurt, Jerry. He wanted to just hear the word of God, that's all. It was a little live bird. That was wild. Was he hurt? He's been in here since 9 o'clock. You think he's blind? Oh, the fowls of the air came to nestle in the. The word noema means. This is a very interesting word because it literally means. That which is thought through to completion. That which is thought through to completion. Now, here's some good news that's bad. Satan's mind towards you is not where he's going to start with you. His thinking process is noema. It means the fullness to the end of it. That means that the wiles of the devil means he wants to penetrate you. He wants to penetrate you to a completed end. You see, sometimes we look at somebody and we have an opinion of them or a thought of them, but Satan don't look at you that way. He looks at you and he wants to learn something about you to bring a completed end to you. In other words, his process of thinking isn't to start a work in you, but to start a work in you, to get it presently working, and to end what he wants to do for your life. That's why he's called the excellent deceiver. Now, what he's saying here, what Paul is saying here, is he says, this guy, we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, we know how this guy operates on the mind of people. He operates in such a way to bring a completed end. To bring a completed end. Now I'm going to tell you how your mind, without going into all the scriptures, did you know that Jesus and Paul was the only one that really used the word nous? In the general term for mind, is a body of conscious life, but its source is spirit. Its source is spirit. And Jesus and Paul are the only ones that use this word. And here's why. they were literally saying when they used it is they were saying that they understood the mind of a man's spirit. Not so much what he was thinking in the natural, but where he was spiritually. So you could say Jesus, when he observed mankind, he observed them from a spiritual viewpoint. He knew where they were spiritually. When Paul mentioned about the noose, he was referring to where a man is spiritually, not naturally. You know what I found? I prophesied over quite a few people up here last Sunday. And a few of them came up and wanted an understanding of the prophecy. When I found out why they wanted the understanding, I found out I was dead on the prophecy. Are you following me? But you know what's really strange? How many of you have been in a place in your walk and you know you're not, you know, where you should be with the Lord? How many of you have been there? I'm not saying you're there today, but you've been in this place where you know you're not right with God. And God comes along and gives you a prophecy, a prophetic utterance. And he says, and Tish is definitely not walking with God where she's supposed to be. This teaching thing. And so he goes and he says, my daughter, I am so pleased with you. I just want to let you know that up ahead, you're going to succeed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to move forward. And you're sitting there and you're receiving that prophecy. And you know what's going through her head? How can God say this to me? I haven't been the nicest guy. I haven't been the nicest lady on planet Earth. I haven't been following God. And yet I'm getting this prophecy of edification. You want to know why? Because God's speaking to you from a spiritual plane, not natural. And you know, it's really obvious that when you get into Scripture, you'll find that God really doesn't care too much for that which is temporal. He's more focused on that which is eternal. So when you get a word from God and you feel like you're kind of down and you feel like you haven't been doing right, thinking right, doing the right thing. Hey, you know what God does? It's like God just passes over that junk and goes right to the heart of what you need. And you sit there and go, well, why me, Lawrence? It's just like he has no regard for your missing the natural. I said, God, how can God be so nice and so wonderful and cool to us? He said, well, he has other ways of getting to correcting you. But in the prophetic, he wants to encourage you. Isn't that the heart of our Father? Because he loves you guys so much. So much. And boy, I'll tell you what, the more that I'm growing close to God and my understanding, the more I'm learning how to love you all. He that loves God loveth them that are born of God. Amen? But the thing that got me is our mind is taken in stages. And I want to give you some examples of those stages. The first step is an idea or a notion or an intent. In other words, where something starts. Now, when you go Naoma, or Noema, when you say Noema, you're including all these stages. That's what Satan does, is he takes you through all these stages to complete something in your thinking. So he starts out, first of all, with an idea or a notion or an intent. He tried that with Peter. And that's when Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, Peter. You're the first one that got a revelation from my heavenly Father, and you're the first one to get a revelation from the devil. Yeah. Get behind me, Satan. Isn't that funny how your mind... See, Satan is observing this thing. And he's saying that Peter has the ability to receive insight. Guess what? You're his target. He's going to get to you mentally. He's going to focus in on what how you think. He's going to observe you. He's going to watch you. Why? Because you are prone to spiritual insight, and Satan doesn't like that. So he's going to hit you with thoughts. And the thoughts that he uses are thoughts that are non-communicated between two people a lot of times. So the first step that he hits is what we call an idea or a notion or an intent. Then he goes from that to the second step, a thinking through. So he'll come with the thought, then he wants you to meditate on it. And I usually find, just recently I've found, that's where I can stop the process that's of my flesh or of the enemy. And a lot of times we don't want to stop it there. Why? Because we want to validate it. Remember what I said about self-deception? I said it's more dangerous than having somebody come directly against you, because you have an opponent. You have somebody you can resist. You have somebody you can watch for its trickery and everything. But with yourself, your own carnal thinking can speak something. You can grab that thought. You'll collaborate with it. You'll move with it. You'll believe it. And all the time, it's so unscriptural and against the kingdom of God. But yet, you don't have a visible opponent like you would the devil. You have yourself. And you're going to move with yourself. And you're going to agree with yourself. And then you'll take yourself down. I'm convinced the devil's saying, leave them alone. They're their own worst enemy. And of course, the third step is the expression. This is the act of understanding the mind's will. This is where a mental action gives willingness to it. What follows or obeys as a result of what the dominant interest of the mind is. And then, of course, the fourth one is the product of the action of the mind. You know, how many times I've heard women say this? Well, you tell me you love me, show me. Do you know what? There's some truth to that. If you love somebody, you'll show it. But when I got that revelation and shared it with y'all, my wife caught it. So I decided I'm going to show her my love. So I came home one day and she's working in the kitchen. I go up and I start handling her and such. She says, stop it. You don't mean it. Typical woman's reaction, you know. Excuse me, ladies. And I didn't know what to say. So this is what came out of my mouth. I said, you're right. I don't mean it. But honey, where do I start? She looked at me and says, oh, okay. A lot of times you don't feel something when you do it, but if in obedience when you do it, it has great, great rewards there, guys. Anyway. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Anyway. No, she finished the supper. Don't worry about it. But it's true, women are more emotionally inclined than men are. Men are more logical, you know. Oh, I love snow. I love 5 foot of snow. We say, we don't have change. You know how far I gotta drive, you know. We don't see it from a real flowery perspective. We see it from too logical of a viewpoint. But men, you know what? Throw your logic to the side and just be obedient and love them anyway. It works. Right? It works. And it encourages, especially a woman that's emotional, if they're real emotional, men, that's really good grounds to really get your way. Start meeting those emotional needs and it'll work. Well, I'm saying all that to say this. Here you are, down on yourself, you have this self esteem that's down. You don't feel accepted. You feel rejected. You know, and here God comes along, gives you a word of encouragement, a prophecy, and you're sitting there. Well, gee, it seems like he'd be more interested in where I'm missing it rather than where I'm going. Well, that's the way the Lord does. He's obedient to his love for you in spite of where you're thinking. He's obedient to that love that he has. Perfect love removes all fear. It's tremendous. I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not evil. You see, the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants to take you on a thought process that destroys something, that robs you of something, that kills something. But God's thought processes don't go that way. They go the opposite way. They think of good things. They think of things of hope and of joy. And so God, that's where his mind starts moving in that direction for you. You know, growing in the Lord, I'm going to say this, and I think all of us can relate to this, growing in the Lord, especially younger times in my life. I'm going to say this, but you've got to understand where I'm coming from, okay? When I was young in the Lord, I blew it. Oh, I blew it big time for the Lord. Have any of you been there? I'm talking about blowing it big time. So much so, I didn't even want to go to church. Yes, Marlis, did you have something you wanted to add to that? Or? Oh, you can agree with me totally. Okay. You all been there. I know you have. Blowing it so bad. You know what I did? I didn't want to go to church. Why? Because everybody's going to really think wrong of me. And finally, one day it dawned on me, who knows? Just because of my thought processes, I'm thinking there's a banner set up in the church and everybody knew about it. And nobody knew nothing. You know what I mean? Isn't that weird how you think those ways? And finally, God says, you can go to church. He says, I'll meet you there. Isn't that cool? So I went to church. And the music started, and we got into this praise and worship, and guess what happened? God got a hold of my heart. Got a hold of my heart big time. Next thing you know, I'm finding myself at the altar, because our first pastor that we had, Don Rogney, he had altar calls. Remember that, Don and Aaron? And so they had altar calls, and I'd run down there, and I'd weep. And you know what? It's just like God puts his arms around you and says, hey, I understand. I love you so much, I understand. You know? Now, he wouldn't do that to me today. If I missed a big time today, you know what he'd do? He'd say, listen, you know better than that. Now, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You stop that. And while I'm at it, I'm going to slap you up alongside the head. You know what I mean? It's just where the Lord is with you, you know? Bam, you know? Well, the problem with growing now is he's doing that. But the further you go with God, the more inconvenient it becomes in the repentant side. You know what I mean? But Satan's number one goal is to try and move you in a process where you go out and think negatively about yourself. Think negatively about people. So everything is leading towards an end, a demise of something. Now, did you know that it's true not everybody is going to be what you expect them to be? Have you guys figured that out by now? And you've got to learn to grace people where they're at. Because all of us, God communicates with to stop any process of death thinking in us. We need to go the extra mile to avoid helping someone go the opposite way. We need to draw people in. We need to draw them in because that's where God is. God draws you in, every one of you in the sanctuary. You can say, God draws you into Him every day. Even if you don't respond, He's drawing you in today. Who can say amen to that? That's the way God is. He's a lover. He's a lover of people. He's a lover of the lost. because he's made a way. He's made a way for all of us. And so, I hate to tell you this, but really, be real, I don't know how to say it, but be real sensitive to how you're thinking if you know it's leading towards death, anything. Just be sensitive to that and say, wait a minute, I don't know all the particulars, you know, but I do know one thing, this is headed nowhere.
Right.
Are you following me? So I'm going to stop that thinking.
Yes.
Whether, you know, when we try to vindicate ourselves, you know, do you know what position that leaves you in when you try to vindicate yourself? Leaves you too vulnerable. You know, God vindicates you.
Right.
Did you guys know that? Turn over to Luke 18. I'm going to stop here. Turn over to Luke 18. I just got to share this with what John and I had found out here just recently in Luke 18. And I'm going to tell you what the translators have done a wonderful job, but sometimes you need the Holy Ghost to help us, if you know what I mean. In chapter 18 of Luke, I just want to bless you really. I want to bless you real good here this morning. Look at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not, but for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Do you know, in the Greek it doesn't say, though he bear long with them. In the Greek it says, and will he be patient? And will he be patient? So if they're crying out day and night, is he going to be patient with him? Or patient with them? See, here's a, though he bear long with them. No, actually in Greek it says, is he going to be patient about it? When you're crying unto him, is he going to be patient about it? Now watch this. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What's it mean? He's not going to be patient about it. He's going to be quick to vindicate you. See, our translators have misled us here a little. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's not even the way it's worded in the Greek. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he findeth faith on the earth. Well, yeah, he's coming to answer your prayer. And he's going to be quick about it. He ain't going to be patient about it. He's going to be quick to get you and vindicate you.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's the love of my Father. Now, our translators didn't look at it that way, but I'll tell you what. Isn't that good news? That man, when you cry out to the Father, he's going to be quick to answer your prayer. He's going to be quick to vindicate you. He's going to be quick to be there for you. He will find faith. Absolutely, it's a question. Absolutely, he'll find faith. That's how he answers your prayers.
Amen.
When you read the light of the text, you'll understand the men around them. But I'll tell you what, God loves you so much. When you leave today, you head home wherever you are at. You just lift your hands up and worship the Father and let Him know, thank you, Father. I know the thought you have towards me are good thoughts. I'll have good thoughts towards people. I know that you love me. I'll love people. See, that is where you need to be thinking all the time. Did you guys get something here this morning? Stand up. If you keep going to God with all your mistakes all the time, you know what He's going to do? He said, when they get over that, I'll come and help them. God's the one that looks for the answer. Yes, Mike. You got something you want to share? Okay. This will be the third closing. Go ahead.
That you're going to preach my message ain't easy. But right here over in 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about 2 Thessalonians chapter 6, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and give you who trouble to rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And basically what he sounded like Pastor was saying, you know, we're troubled on this earth because of the things that the world is doing, what Satan is doing to them. But God is quick and faithful to trouble those who trouble you. In other words, he'll make a way of escape.
Yes.
When you're having a hard time, amen?
Yes. Amen. There hath no temptation taking you such a calm that God will make a way of escape. See, Satan wants you to be discouraged where you place your faith. That's where his thinking process. He'll get you to buy into things, why things ain't happening. Listen, I'll tell you what. When you place your faith down on the line, Satan's going to come against that kind of thinking. And you need to stand fast. Not give up your position of strength. Don't do it. God doesn't intend for you to do it. So don't you do it. If he has a problem with you, he'll work it out with you. But he wants you to at least when you place your faith, thou let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your vow stay firm and go forward anyway. God will take care of the rest. That's the goodness of our Heavenly Father. He wants you to succeed. He does. No, man, what'd you do? I put this down and I'm believing for this. And well, how come you're down? Oh, you have no idea. It's been a while. I haven't really seen. Well, where'd you get that thinking from? You're supposed to remain steadfast in your faith. Don't give up your confidence. Don't cast it away. Stay firm. I mean, you know, and if God says you're the problem, he'll come to you and let you know you're the equation, but you won't stumble on for 2, 3, 4 years and finally get a revelation. God's not with me. Now, he's been with you the first day you've talked prayer. Hey, listen, if he answered Daniel the first day, it took 21 days to get there. Hey, you're greater than Daniel. Guess what? When you utter your voice, God will come immediately. Glory to God. Because we have an adversary that's been dethroned. Leave this church today feeling that upbeat, feeling that you know you can move forward, you know you can plant your faith, and you know it will succeed. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. May your people leave here feeling edified, Father. Father, those thought processes that have moved them off their faith, let them bring their faith back and remove them thought process, Father, so they can go on and succeed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you can truthfully say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've heard about Him and I've known that, I know that Christianity is the way to go. But this morning, God might have been speaking to your heart. And if He was, you need to respond. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out how you're going to work it out. Let God be God. Let Him take you one day at a time. All you have to do is step out by faith, say, I received Jesus as my Savior, and your salvation will be revealed as you walk with Him. Amen. And anybody doing good thing is just by giving your life. And those of you that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can receive that baptism today. Hallelujah. Those of you that have been out of fellowship with God, I'm not going to give you an altar call. I'm going to do you some honor. You restore your walk with God yourself. Yes, you do it. You have a right to that on your own. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you want to be physically healed, well, we'll give you, I'll pray with you at the end of the service for that. But those other two, if you want baptism of the Holy Ghost, salvation, feel free to come up now, anybody. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah, anybody? Praise the Lord. We have altar ministers here and minister to you. Hallelujah.